actually to remind you all, I love you all very much, thankful for you being here. Why are you troubled? Why are you troubled? Jesus asked his disciples, the most faithful, the most educated, the most understanding, the most contact they had with Jesus, they're still troubled. I don't know about you, but in the last week, weeks, months, I've been troubled. And it gets stressful. You try to figure out what's going on, you know, between COVID and people being hateful to each other and people being accusatory and us not upsetting the apple. I've been troubled. I don't know about you guys. There's times I'm just like, come on. Talked to my wife about it a little bit last night. These things trouble me. Now, don't get me wrong. Those are big things, so to speak. But little things trouble me too. Who'd been using my stuff? What flavor is this? There's still many people that haven't learned how to drive. Left-hand lane is for overtaking, okay? The blinker is for communicating with what your mental intention is. I could go on and on, okay? Gas is on the right, brake is on the left. Many things trouble us in our lives. And for me to look at these passages this morning and the songs we've sung to help with us about relying on Christ and recognizing that we do have troubles and seeing Jesus said to the disciples in our passage this morning, why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at me. I'm risen from the dead. I fulfilled the promises of God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Because that's what people want us to doubt. Why are you doubtful? Is Jesus real? Is God real? Is love real? We continue. Jesus said, peace to you. And even after he says peace to you, he says, why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your heart? I don't know about you, but I want the peace of God all the time. It's not going to happen until I'm home with him. I still look for that type of heavenly peace here on earth, and it's not going to happen because there will be trials and tribulations. But something that continues to trouble me, I need to give it over to God. We need to give it over to God. Jesus said, look at me, remember me, in a nutshell, when he said, my hands, my feet, handle me, see me. Embrace the words which I speak to you. They are fulfilling of the prophets and of the law of Moses and of the Psalms. In John 14, Jesus, we're going to look at some passages this morning basically about troubled. And I hadn't thought about some of these things. Some of these things I know I've heard before, but I need to hear them daily. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. That where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way, you know. And Thomas said unto him, Lord, we do not know where you're going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus also talks about people trying to climb over the fence and come in a way different than the gate. And we talked about narrow is the gate a couple weeks ago. Let your heart not be troubled, because you know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And sometimes we just become a little bit comfortable around here, you know, on this earth. Nothing wrong with enjoying his blessings and favor and enjoying the gift of life he's given us. But we've got to remember we have eternal life promised through him. And living forever is far more important. There's a lot of folks that have given up on Jesus because they've had troubles in their life. Got to go to Solomon, look a little bit at Proverbs. Proverbs 11, he who earnestly seeks good finds favor, but trouble will come to him who seeks evil. Proverbs 12, it is written, the wicked is ensnared by the transgression of his lips, but the righteous will come through trouble. No grave trouble, Proverbs 12, continuing another verse, no grave trouble will overtake the righteous, but the wicked shall be filled with evil. Proverbs 15, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Proverbs 21, whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. Proverbs 25, confidence in an unfaithful man in a time of trouble is like a bad tooth and a foot out of joint. I don't know about you, but I've had some teeth problems. It's been a long time since I had a foot out of joint. I sprained my ankle when I was a senior in high school, or senior, playing intramural basketball. That was the extent of my big basketball career. The only time I've ever had to hobble around on crutches for a week or so. You know, they say a sprain's a lot worse than a break. But it says, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble. Folks, we need to put a confidence in ourselves, because we are faithful people. We need to put our confidence and faith in Jesus, in Jesus, in Jesus, above in all things. Do you think Jesus expected Pilate to do the will and the things that God wanted him to do? Or Caesar? The politicians of the time? The governors? All of those certain things, folks? Jesus lived in a time where there was people that didn't follow God, made bad decisions, had troubling times. Matter of fact, a bunch of them crucified him. And he knew they were going to crucify him. And he held his peace. And he still loved them. And he still forgave them. And if he had an opportunity, he told them about the will of God in our lives. These passages are excerpts just like from Proverbs, about one about the disciples and the rest about Jesus. He was not far above and could not experience the things that we did. He did experience those things. He did come to live in the flesh. And the disciples in Mark 6, it says, for they all saw him and were troubled, but immediately he talked with them and said to them, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. I don't know about you, but there's times in my life when I have been overwhelmed. I've been troubled. and God's holy word speaks to me. It says, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Be not troubled. I am with you always. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. And I can go on and on and on and on. There's thousands of passages that can inspire us and uplift us when we are in times of trouble. But we've got to turn to Jesus. This is the time when Jesus was walking on the water. Storms were all around the disciples. They had some troubles. Jesus said, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. Be of good cheer. Multiple times Jesus tells people in times of trouble, be of good cheer. Now let me ask you, okay? And I'll ask Jesus the same thing that I have in my life. I am down and out. I'm feeling Mr. Ornery. Don't mess with me. Don't talk to me. I don't feel good. I'm mad. I'm angry. Jesus says, be of good cheer. And in other words, he's saying, wake up. Repent. Give your heart to me. Be of good cheer. Now in Mark chapter 14, pertaining to Jesus, and he took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. Now, the next passages that we're looking at here, Mark and John, Jesus was troubled. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came to her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Jesus said, now my soul is troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. For this purpose I came to this hour. And Jesus had said these things. He was troubled in spirit and testified and said, most assuredly I say to you, one of you will betray me. So let's look a little bit at the things that troubled Jesus. It's troubling when people, your closest friends of faith, let you down. However it is. It's troubling when your family members don't follow Jesus. Maybe not for you, but for me it is. Because I love them and I want them to live for eternity. I want them to have the rewards and the blessings and the favor God promises to those that are faithful and righteous to Him. It's troubling because a lot of our good friends, folks, we may not believe it, but a lot of our good friends are the people we work with every day because we spend so much time with them. And it's troubling for me to go to work with people that aren't following Jesus. Deeply distressed. Jesus was deeply distressed. Let's ask, what did Jesus do when he grabbed those guys and he felt troubled and distressed? And when he prayed, he poured his heart out to God the Father. God was there. God is always there. God is always ready for us to pour our heart out to Him in times of trouble. Always. Always. How many of you ever wanted to pour your heart out and talk to somebody and they really didn't, you know? Are you listening to me? I'll just give you Kelly. She comes home from work and wants to talk to me about troubles. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to have the time for it. I'm consumed with myself. I'm thinking about other things. Maybe I'm troubled with all my stuff for the day. Not so with God.
He always has time for us to open our hearts to Him when we're in trouble. And folks, when we talk to God and we pray to God and we open our hearts to Him, that's when He works in us. That's when His power gives us confidence. It's when the Holy Spirit says, "It is written." Jesus was troubled when people are raged and mad. About sin. He was troubled. Jesus said, "Now my soul's troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." Jesus automatically asked for God's help, God the Father. But also recognizing, you know, I got to go through this. Okay? Because He loved us. Folks, we got to go through trouble sometimes because we love people. We can remove ourselves from them. We can ostracize ourselves from our friends and our workplace and all the things that happen to us and all the things that bring us trouble. Or we can pray for God for strength to get through those things. We can run from things. We should run from sin. We shouldn't place ourselves in those things. But it's not always sin that brings us trouble. Sometimes it's just ignorance or ineptness on their part or our part. Judge not, lest you be judged. Judge with righteous judgment. Father, save me from this hour. I ask this morning. Was Jesus saved from that hour? He still had to go through the cross, the death on the cross. But He was given the strength and the courage and the faith and the love to continue through some unbelievable trouble and stress and distress. Same thing with us. The power of God instilled in us. We got to rely on Him. It's not of our own selves. You think Jesus carried that cross and be hung and let all those people do all that mean and hateful things to Him without the power of God working in His life? Without Him being able to love unconditionally and forgive unconditionally? Jesus had the power to strike all of them dead right then. He did. He had the power to create lightning and everything, anything He could at His power. Natural disaster, heavenly disaster, whatever. Bam. I'm not going through this. Let's do something else, God. Guess what? God said, "This is my plan. This is my word. This is what I said. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is what we're doing." And He knew that. Even though He said, "Man, I don't want to do this." Folks, there's sometimes in our lives when we say, "I don't want to do this, God." And He says, "This is my plan. This is what I've said. This is what you have to do." And there's a lot of people here, not here this morning, that don't have the faith to turn to the Father. They've turned to Satan. That's the truth. Brothers and sisters and friends, I'm sorry, but that's the truth. They're not here because they did not or do not follow the Father in heaven. I don't like it anymore than you. It troubles me. It distresses me. But to make a different way for them to be saved is contrary to God's word. There's only one way we could have been saved is Jesus on the cross. There's only one way. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Not by doing the best I can. Not by doing better than my neighbor. Not thinking I'm going to be okay. It's not the truth. Don't add to and take away from God's word. Folks, don't be conned in to somebody whitewashing and softening up the gospel of Christ. You want to talk about trouble? Straight is the gate, narrow is the way. And Jesus had said these things. He was troubled in spirit, testified, and said, "Most surely say unto you, one of you will betray me." I don't know about you, but there's nothing worse than having your best friend in life throw you under the bus. You don't talk about the biggest throw under the bus in history, Judas. And let's go one step further. The worst thing about it, Judas recognized what he did, and then he gave up. He gave up. Same reason people aren't here this morning. They recognize what they've done, and then they gave up. They didn't come back to Jesus. They didn't come back to God. They didn't repent. Their heart's too far gone. Their heart's hardened. I don't know about you, there's many times in my life when I've had to say, my heart needs to be softened. God, I give you my heart. I don't like to do that. That's tough for me. Thy will, not my will. I'm telling you. I want to do things my way. I want to run the day my way. I want to see things my way. I want everybody else to see things my way. My way or the highway, right? Well, that's what God says. And God says it because He loves us. Because He knows what's best for us. Put your hope in Christ. We can encourage one another and we'd uplift one another and edify one another. But our faith is in Him. I'm just a Christian like you guys. I've been given the opportunity to present God's word. I don't have a special place reserved for me because I'm a preacher. I have a salvation, just like you guys. I struggle with troubles, just like you guys. That's why God's word works on my heart. Hopefully it helps you guys when I bring it to you. Galatians chapter 1 says, "I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." I kind of reaffirm some of the stuff I've been speaking about this morning, folks. How Satan works in our lives to try and convince us that everything's okay when it comes to spirituality, when it comes to salvation, when it comes to eternal life. And that's not true. 2 Thessalonians, it is written, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us. When the Lord is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished from everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. When he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you is believed. God will take care of things. I don't know about you, but sometimes people make me angry enough, want to punch them in the throat. People I know, people I don't know. There's been times in my life that I've punched people in the throat. I am a child of the Most High God. I need to turn it over and let God take care of that. We need to turn things over to God and let him take care of them. He will do it far better. Far better than we could ever imagine. And maybe God will be able to turn their hearts, make them repent. In Hebrews 12, it says, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful, nevertheless. Afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight the path for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up and cause trouble. And by this many have become defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. I mentioned just a minute ago, folks, there's people who cry and wail and whine and give you all kinds of excuses and reasons, but they don't repent. And bitterness runs their heart. I've met people that blame God for injustice. The injustice is man's part. The injustice is sin's part. God is just and righteous and loving and caring. Little root of bitterness. You wonder how divorce happens, folks? Separation in a relationship. A little root of bitterness. He doesn't pick up his socks. She doesn't do this or that. And then the next day it's another thing. And the next day it's another thing. And then they resent each other because there's a little root of bitterness. And then they want to get even. So they decide that they're going to do something to get back at the other person. It can happen. It happens in marriage relationships. It could happen at the workplace. It can happen in the church. Any root of bitterness that causes trouble. And as those things progress and progress and progress, people start believing lies and they let the root of bitterness spring up and cause trouble in relationships. Look carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. How can you have the grace of God, the love, the forgiveness, the kindness, the gentleness, the peace, and let little roots of bitterness control your heart? In your life. Our last passage this morning, I think. 1 Peter, and who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Do not be afraid of their threats or be troubled. In closing this morning, why are you troubled? Jesus asked the disciples. Now I persuade, I ask us this morning, we think about this. Do I persuade, now persuade men or God? Am I following God or am I trying to persuade men? What's my purpose? Do I seek to please men? I want to be friends with everybody. But accepting something that is a falsehood in the kingdom of heaven is not pleasing to God. I want to be counted worthy of the kingdom of heaven. We want to be counted worthy. Be counted worthy of the kingdom of heaven. Look carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. And let bitterness destroy their faith, destroy their relationships, destroy their joy and their peace and their happiness. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart and always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks for a reason for the hope that's in you with meekness and fear. That's not right because God says so. I'm following what God says. Have a good conscience. Be confident that God's working in your heart and in your life. And remember what the words of Jesus, our Master, our Savior, Father, save me from this hour. There's sometimes we are out of all our things that we can do, and we got to rely on God. We got to open our hearts to Him. Jesus says, peace to you. Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. Jesus still says, it is I. It is I. It is I. I'm right here ready to help you. Jesus also said, let your heart not be troubled. I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you haven't given your life to Him, we implore you to do that this morning. If you have needs of any kind and you want Him to be known, we invite you to do so as we stand and sing a selected hymn this morning.